Our reading this morning continues in Matthew chapter 8. We'll be focusing specifically this morning on verses 5 through 13. But for context and to remind us where we've come from, we'll begin at the beginning of the chapter. And so, reading from God's Word in Matthew chapter 8, verses 1 through 13, this is what the Word of the Lord says. When he came down from the mountain, great crowds followed him. And behold, a leper came to him and knelt before him, saying, Lord, if you will, you can make me clean. And Jesus stretched out his hand and touched him, saying, I will, be clean. And immediately his leprosy was cleansed. And Jesus said to him, See that you say nothing to anyone, but go. Show yourselves to the priest and offer the gift that Moses commanded for a proof to them. When he entered Capernaum, a centurion came forward to him, appealing to him, Lord, my servant is lying paralyzed at home, suffering terribly. And he said to him, I will come and heal him. But the centurion replied, Lord, I am not worthy to have you come under my roof, but only say the word, and my servant will be healed. For I too am a man under authority with soldiers under me, and I say to one, go, and he goes, and to another, come, and he comes, and to my servant, do this, and he does it. When Jesus heard this, he marveled and said to those who followed him, Truly, I tell you, with no one in Israel have I found such faith. I tell you, many will come from the east and the west and recline at the table with Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob in the kingdom of heaven, while the sons of the kingdom will be thrown into the outer darkness, in that place where there is weeping and gnashing of teeth. And to the centurion Jesus said, Go. Let it be done for you as you have believed. And the servant was healed at that very moment. Amen. This is the word of the Lord. And may God add his rich blessing to this reading from his word. I've no doubt this morning for many here, there are things in our lives which we just cannot ever imagine changing, things which for us are unfixable. Whether they be fraught, damaged or broken relationships, whether they be problems with health, whether they be our problems or the problems of our friends and loved ones. Each of us here have hardships and difficulties in our lives that we cannot imagine ever changing. I want to encourage you this morning that in the Roman centurion we read about in Matthew chapter 8 verses 5 through 13, that you have a like-minded friend. You see, the Roman centurion knew that humanly speaking, he had an impossible, unfixable problem. The Roman centurion was faced with the reality that someone he loved was suffering and dying for what was then an incurable health problem. You see, his servant was paralyzed and was suffering terribly in his home. And so no matter what chapter you're in your life, be it at school or at home or in your workplace, no matter what difficulty you face, however insurmountable it may appear, in the Roman centurion, you have someone who knows what it is to face the impossible. But best of all, this morning, in the Roman centurion, we have an example of someone who knows how to overcome the impossible through faith in Jesus Christ. Here in the biblical record before us, we find the God of miracles at work, doing the impossible for those who have faith in him. And this morning, no matter what the circumstances, the same God is still at work, revealing who he is, inspiring faith in the very same Jesus who the Roman centurion witnessed doing the impossible. Perhaps this morning we can learn something from this centurion. Perhaps we also may bring our impossible problems to the one who has all authority in heaven and earth to do miracles in the lives of those who have faith in him. So let us look together for a moment at what happens when the good news of what Jesus is doing spreads. Let's look at what happens when people hear it, when people believe it. Let's see the miracles. Let's have a look and see what Jesus does in the lives of those who have faith in him. And so my 3 points this morning is, was it Jesus was heard, Jesus was heeded, and Jesus healed. And so firstly, the news of Jesus was heard. In the first century Near East, in a time when there was no Twitter or Facebook, I know you can't remember such times, but it was commonplace where the word of mouth would spread the news of the day. And friends, Jesus is big news. And throngs of people flocked, as we saw earlier in the scriptures, to see Jesus doing the miracles that only God himself could do. And in the first 4 verses, we saw that with the leper, where Jesus received him, where Jesus responded to the leper with compassion, with love, and with mercy. And where finally we saw Jesus fully restoring this man of Israel to physical health. And it's interesting that Jesus began his ministry of healing and restoration with God's people, Israel. It wasn't with the Gentiles or the world. And it began with the healing of this Jewish leper. But here in verses 5 through 13, we see Jesus responding to the pleas of for help of a Roman centurion who's not a Jew. And so what's going on here? There's a bit of a change happening. Luke chapter 7 and verse 3 tells us that this Roman centurion had heard the amazing news about Jesus. And so as our text before us reveals, this amazing news of what Jesus can do causes faith to rise up in many of its hearers. And in Jesus, this centurion sees a man like no other. Here's a man who can do what only God can do. Who is this guy? And as a consequence of hearing who Jesus is and what he can do, and as a consequence of believing in Jesus, this man sees Jesus as one who has power and authority to do the impossible. That's who Jesus is, the only one in the world who can do the impossible. And so the centurion comes to Jesus in faith, pleading for his help. And we see that in verses 5 and 6. And so firstly, we have a man who has heard about Jesus. And having heard of who he is and what he can do in people's lives, this centurion recognizes Jesus has unparalleled power and authority to do the impossible. And so faith is the result of the centurion hearing of who Jesus is and what he is doing. Secondly, here in verses 7 through 12, we have news of Jesus was heeded and responded to in faith. News of Jesus was heeded and responded to in faith. Remember the compassion that Jesus met the leper with? Well, here we see him again responding in the same way when he welcomes the Roman centurion. The only difference being that this is an officer in a foreign invading army of occupation. And you know, it never ever ceases to amaze me. The people, the kinds of people that Jesus welcomes. First, it was the socially excluded in the form of the leper, who, as you know, no one would dare to go near for fear of their lives. Now he's welcoming an officer of an oppressive, occupying Roman army. Again, you wouldn't go near these guys for fear of your life. And so what is Jesus doing here? Did he not know it was social suicide for a Jew to have anything to do with a Roman soldier? What was the king of the Jews doing welcoming a guy like this Roman centurion? Why didn't Jesus chase him? The centurion wasn't a Jew. He had no place or any right to come to Jesus. But just like the leper, the Roman centurion is received and welcomed by Jesus. And friends, this morning, if you've never humbly come to Jesus like the leper and the centurion, for fear that he would turn you away because you don't think that you're his kind of person, I want to challenge you to think again. Because Jesus never, ever turns anyone away who humbly comes to him with the kind of faith we see in the leper and the centurion. Jesus always receives everyone who comes to him in faith. And so, there's wonderful news. There's hope for the likes of us. Jesus would have been forgiven if he had politely and provided he used the right social etiquette and didn't rip the knitting of the centurion, he would have been forgiven if he had told the man to sling his hook. Because ordinarily the Jews hated the Romans. They made tax collectors and collaborators out of them. But as we see here, Jesus always does the opposite from what we think. Rather than reject the Roman officer, as you would have expected, Jesus immediately volunteers to come and to heal his servant who is lying paralyzed and in terrible suffering in the centurion's home. And we see that in verses 6 and 7. What an amazing revelation of the love, the compassion and the mercy of Jesus towards people in the midst of their suffering. Friends, Jesus loves the ones we least expect him to. And perhaps Jesus' example is one that we should all follow. Maybe we too should love the ones that many would least expect us to. And it's through this centurion's faith in Jesus' power and authority that something happens. I don't know if you begin to see with me, but God is drawing not only Jews to himself, but he's also bringing about his wonderful plan to gather in the nations. You can see it beginning here. You can see the shoots coming up as this starts to emerge. You see, there's two stories being told at the same time here. I don't know if you recognise that one of the stories is to do with the healing of two people in the midst of great distress by Jesus, who has the power and authority of God. The other story is the bigger picture of what God is doing by opening up the way of salvation and restoration, not only to Israel, but to the Gentiles, to the nations. Here's God's plan beginning to come into fruition, where he is gathering a people to himself from every tongue, from every tribe. And it's through faith in Jesus Christ. But the time has not yet come for the floodgates of God's kingdom to be open to the Gentiles. Jesus makes that clear in the next couple of chapters. If you looked at chapter 10 and verses 5 and 6, you'll see there that Jesus sent out the 12 disciples. You'll see that he instructed them not to go among the Gentiles, not to go into the Samaritan towns, but rather to go to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. And so, yes, the time has not yet come for the kingdom to be fully open to the Gentiles. However, here in our text this morning, we see a glimpse of what's to come. A glimpse of what's to come for all who have faith in Jesus, as Jesus receives this Gentile centurion because he has faith in Christ. And therefore, and rightfully so, we see that faith in Jesus Christ is the main focus of the centurion's request for help. Matthew, in the thrust of his text here, is centering upon Jesus and the compassionate and merciful way in which he responds to desperate people in their time of need. What a wonderful God. What a gracious, loving, kind God we have. And friends, Jesus has never changed. He still receives people in this way. People who humbly come to him for help. Jesus sees the love of the centurion for his sick friend. Does he tell him to get lost? Does he tell him, I'm not giving the children's bread, the children of Israel, I'm not giving their bread to strangers or foreigners? Does he tell him to beat it? No, he doesn't. Instantly, right away, he responds in kind. He's all set to go to the paralyzed man. Instantly, immediately, there's no hesitation. There's not a blink of the eye, and Jesus is saying, I'll go and heal this guy. Of course, this centurion is humbled by Jesus' compassion. Look with me to verse 8. The Gentile centurion recognizes his unworthiness for Jesus to come in to his home. Oh, to be in the presence of such compassion, that it would bring a Roman soldier to such humility. And the centurion also knows here that he is a man, whilst a mere man, he still has immense power and authority over soldiers, slaves, and civilians alike. Do you know, all he had to say was one word, and everyone who was under him would obey immediately. In these days, life was cheap. You rip these guys knitting and they'd have your head off. But look at this. Look with me to verse 9. Look at Jesus' response to this man's statement that, you know, he's not worthy to come in to your house. But he says, for I too am a man under authority, with soldiers under me, says the centurion. I say to this one, go, and he goes. To another, come, and he comes. And to my servant, do this, and he does it. In Jesus, the centurion sees infinitely more power and authority than his own. And so he bids Jesus say, just say the word, Jesus. You only need to say the word, says the centurion. He's not a Jew. He's not a religious man. He's a Gentile. And the centurion knows that his servant will be healed. He recognizes that when Jesus says, go, sickness will be gone. When he says, come, healing will come. And in verse 10, we see Jesus was absolutely astonished at the faith of the centurion. And it's an amazing stark contrast to the religious Jews who were in open opposition to Jesus. They didn't want anything to do with Jesus. They were always conspiring against him. And it's no surprise then that Jesus said to them in John chapter 5, verses 39 through 40, he said to these religious people, he says, you search the scriptures because you think that in them you will have eternal life. He says, but it is the scriptures that bear witness about me, Jesus says. Yet you refuse to come to me that you may have life. It was in the face of such widespread rejection by the religious Jewish leaders that, is it any wonder that in verse 11 Jesus says, many will come from the east and the west and recline at the table of Abraham, Isaac and Jacob in the kingdom of heaven. Is it any surprise that those who have been offered to the banquet and who are refusing to come, is it any surprise that the doors are beginning to open, that God's people have been sent out to the highways and to the byways to invite all who will come to Jesus? And here we see a picture of the Jews refusing to come and the door being opened to the world. What an amazing. God is beginning to open up the way of salvation through faith in Jesus Christ to people other than the Jews. And even today, the Jews en masse, some 2,000 years later, still reject Jesus as the Christ, as their Christ. And as verse 12 warns us, everyone does so at their peril. It's clear from our text this morning that it's the wise who put their faith in Jesus. Why? Because, as we're about to see, it's only those who have faith in Jesus Christ who see the impossible come to pass in their lives. Firstly, we had the news of Jesus was heard in verses 5 and 6. Secondly, we had the news of Jesus was heeded and responded to in faith in verses 7 through 12. But finally, thirdly and finally here, we've got the news of Jesus brings healing in verse 13. Until now, people came to Jesus in person for help, as was the case with the leper and all the throngs who saw him on the hill. But now, through the faith of the centurion, Jesus' power and authority over sickness and diseases is demonstrated by healing coming directly to the centurion's sick servant without him ever seeing Jesus. The centurion's servant never clapped eyes on Jesus. The scripture said, blessed are those who have not seen and yet have believed. That's the faith that we see the centurion had here. And that's the faith that every single person who has ever believed in Jesus for the last 2,000 years has had. Ever since the time Jesus spoke these words, blessed are those who have not seen and yet believe, to Thomas, who didn't believe that Jesus had been risen from the dead. We'll find these words in John 20, 29. And friends, one thing is for sure. The centurion, his servant, his household had seen the miracles which accompany faith in Jesus Christ, as verse 13 tells us. When Jesus said to the centurion, go, he says, let it be done for you as you have believed. And you know what happened? Immediately, the servant was healed. At that very moment. That is the God that we follow. The God whose faith we have in him is so well placed. You trust Jesus, your faith is always well placed. And you know, I doubt there would have been any unbelievers in their midst that morning. But what about our midst this morning? What about those who are listening again online? Do we see the same Jesus who did the impossible by healing the centurion's servant? Do we see the same Jesus who wants us to come to him in faith with our impossible problems? Friends, that we too might see the miracles which accompany faith in Jesus Christ in our own lives. Miracles of healing broken people and restoring broken relationships between God and between man. And so as we come to a close this morning, the centurion heard about Jesus. Faith comes by hearing and hearing the word of God. And faith rose up in him. And faith in Jesus caused him to come to Jesus for help. It wasn't a passive faith, it was an active faith. He got up and he went to Jesus. And Jesus responded with compassion and with mercy and ultimately with healing. And 2,000 years later, faith still rises up in people when they hear the good news of what God is doing through his one and only begotten Son, Jesus Christ. My question to you this morning is this. Have you heard the big news about Jesus? Friends, he died for sinners so that we might not perish, but have everlasting life. Have you heeded Jesus? Have you responded to his love towards you with his death on the cross in your place? And have you witnessed the miracles which accompany faith in Jesus Christ in the lives of those, all those who come to him? Perhaps this morning it's time for you to experience these things for yourself. Perhaps it's time you heard Jesus speak the words that he spoke to the centurion when he said to him, "Go, let it be done for you as you have believed." Let us pray. Father God, we know there are insurmountable, impossible hurdles and mountains in our lives. But we know that you are the God that if we would just trust and put our hope and our faith in, who can help us navigate every and anything that sets itself up against us. You can help us destroy and smash every pretension that sets itself against Christ. You can help and sustain us in everyday life where the impossible, the insurmountable lies before us. As in faith we put our hand in Jesus' hand, you take us, you lead us and guide us, you sustain us, that nothing, absolutely nothing would take us out of your hand. Not affliction, not suffering, not pain, not hardship, not persecution. Nothing in heaven or earth can ever separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus our Lord. And so, Father, we ask that you would help us see Jesus. That you would grant us eyes to see and ears to hear and a heart that is soft and tender and will humbly respond to Jesus in faith. Because it's for his glory we ask it. Amen.